We're going to tonight continue our series that we've been doing on Sunday evenings, our series which is entitled Holy and Blameless. David, you'll be unaware of this series because you've been away in the whole month of January preaching in another Baptist church, helping them out. And really this series we've been working through, David and Tracy, it's called Holy and Blameless. It's really a look at personal holiness. Personal holiness in the life of a believer. And it's a call to take holiness and godliness seriously. And this phrase, holy and blameless, comes from a passage in Ephesians 1. And that passage in Ephesians 1 tells us all the spiritual blessings which are ours in Christ Jesus. When our faith is in Christ, these incredible blessings. And one of them is that we are holy and blameless. And that is our new standing in Christ Jesus. None of us are perfect, but through what Christ Jesus did on the cross, that's who we now become, people who are holy and blameless in his sight. So that's our new standing. But in the light of our new standing, that should also be our new desire. When the gospel grips our heart and we realize how dreadful our sin is and the cost of our sin and the sacrifice that Christ made for our sin on the cross, and once he's transformed us and once we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, why would we keep on sinning? Why would we take any pleasure in continuing to sin? And so when Christ has gripped our hearts, when Jesus Christ is our Savior, this should be our new desire if you're a true believer, to live a life that is holy and blameless, to live a life like our Savior, the one we follow, our great example, Jesus Christ. And so 1 Timothy 4 is a verse we've thought about over the last couple of weeks, where it says, train yourself in godliness. Train, take responsibility, self-discipline there. Train yourself in godliness. And it's a practical series, so we're looking at specific areas in our life. So last week we thought about how to be holy and blameless in our thought life. So we deal with those thoughts that go through our mind. And in other weeks we're going to look at relationships. We're going to think about how to be holy and blameless in the workplace as you interact and you live as a Christian. Sometimes a place can be difficult to live as a Christian. How to be holy and blameless in the church as you mix with all the different people. But tonight, as we continue this series, we're going to be very specific. And I'm going to be specific to you, Davey, as you start this new role. We're going to think about how to be holy and blameless in ministry. Now, this is relevant for Davey, but it's also relevant for all of us who are Christians. If you call Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're all called to live our lives as Christians. We're all involved in ministry of some sort, maybe as a parent in the home, training your children up in the fear of the Lord. Maybe you serve here, you're one of our musicians who comes on the platform here and ministers through music each week. Or maybe you're down at the back on the technical team, or maybe you're somebody who greets, or you're involved in our children's ministry, our youth fellowship is happening later on. No matter what ministry you're involved in, and all of us are called to good works, we want to be holy and blameless in our ministry, whatever that looks like in our life. Robert Murray McShane was a minister in Dundee in the 1800s. You may have heard of him, well-known Christian minister. He died at the age of 29. And even though he died at a very young age, his ministry has made a lasting impact. It's still talked about and thought about today. One of the reasons for that was because of a well-known biography that was written about Robert Murray McShane by Andrew Bonner. Have you read that biography, David? You love your books. You haven't read that. Can I encourage that? That's a great book to read, or anybody. We thought about this last week, how to be holy and blameless in your thought life, about reading God's Word. We linked in with what David shared tonight about reading books that help explain the Bible or the Christian faith. Any book on Robert Murray McShane, encourage you to read it. It'd be a real blessing to you. Christian biography is a great thing to read. But he's a very famous quotation about ministry and about serving in a church context. And this is what Robert Murray McShane said. My people's greatest need is my personal holiness. The people I serve in my church, the people I'm called to minister to, the people who sit in front of me on a pew, my people's greatest need is my personal holiness. And this is true. It's true, Davey. And I want you to keep this in mind as well. Your greatest need, the greatest need for Antrim, is not your ability to preach. And it's not your theological studies, vast as they are. It's not your visitation skills or your eloquent public prayers. The most important qualification for Christian service and ministry is your character. And it's personal holiness. living a life that is holy and blameless. My people's greatest need is my personal holiness. And as a pastor and as a minister, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. The greatest thing is my own personal holiness. The most important training you can do, as you think about ministry, is train yourself to be godly. And we want to think about that tonight. I want to turn to a passage, 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, we're going to read the first 7 verses. It's a passage I often read at elders' meetings. It's a passage that describes the qualifications and the qualities of somebody who's an overseer in a church, a pastor, an elder. And we want to have a think about this tonight as we think about how to be holy and blameless. 1 Timothy 3, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Amen. It's a fascinating list. It's a list of the qualities we're looking for in somebody as they take on a role, a leadership in ministry in a local church context. And you'd expect in a list describing qualities of a leader in a church to be all about gifting. You'd expect it to say something like they must be a dynamic communicator, not send anybody off to sleep, be able to hold everybody's attention. You'd expect it to say, well, somebody has a vast intellect, be able to deal with all the difficult theological issues. They must be charismatic in their social skills, you know, great in the crowd, be able to talk and interact with people of all ages. Somebody's going to be a leader in a church, they must be vibrant and visionary as a leader. That's maybe the kind of things you'd expect to see in a list here. But actually, as we go through this list, it only mentions one gifting as such. We see it just at the end of verse 2, where it says, able to teach. Doesn't say you have to be the most incredible teacher ever. It just says, able to teach. And that's important for somebody who's in leadership in a church, who has to stand maybe at the front and teach scripture. They must be able to rightly handle the word of truth. Read it and explain it and communicate it to a congregation as well. But what's everything else about in this list? Do you know what everything else is about? It's all about character. What are you like as a person? What's your character like? And really what it's describing here is somebody who has a godly character. Somebody whose life can be described as being holy and blameless. That's what ministry and positions of ministry are all about. Do you have the character? Is your life holy and blameless? The first thing it mentions here is you must be above reproach. What that phrase really means is it must be impossible for somebody to bring a charge against you. Now, we know that nobody is perfect. We all have our failings. But you mustn't be somebody that the people in the congregation are sitting there looking, who does that person think he is? He's up in the pulpit, or he's taking a Bible study, and he's teaching this, but look at his life. He's saying one thing, but his life doesn't match. They're able to bring charges against you. That's to say, none of us are perfect, but you must be seen as somebody who loves Christ and hates sin. Above reproach. See that person? There is somebody who loves Christ and they hate sin. We're not going to dwell in sin. You know, we say we're none of us are perfect, but when we sin, we have a hatred for it. We have repentance for it. We'll apologize for things we've done wrong. Somebody who you cannot bring a charge against. Then it goes on to say you're the husband of one wife. It's really a call to be a faithful person. Somebody who's completely faithful. You're a one-woman man. You're not somebody who's got a string of partners hanging on to you. You're not somebody who's a flirt. You're somebody you could trust when you're around members of the opposite sex. Is there really a call here to be holy and blameless in how you interact with the opposite sex? You're somebody who's faithful to the one that you are married to. And all of us involved in ministry, we need to be wise and we need to be careful in this area to avoid temptations. And coming through college, David, you would have been heard lots of different classes where they spoke about that, about being wise, who you meet with, where you meet with people, the things that you share so that your wife knows that it's transparent in your dealings with members of the opposite sex. So in your relationships with the opposite sex, you need to be holy and you need to be blameless. Then there's a few things we can group together here. It says you need to be sober-minded, self-controlled, and respectable. That's really a call for self-discipline. You need to have control of your thoughts, sober-minded. Control of your actions, self-controlled. Filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit coming out there. Respectable. And then it goes on a few later on to say, not a drunkard. And abuse of alcohol can cause many, many problems. Abuse of alcohol has destroyed, sadly, many ministries. And I know people, friends of mine, who have gone into ministry. And what has ruined their ministry was they weren't able to control their alcohol consumption. And so you need to be holy and blameless in your use of alcohol. Because it actually contradicts the list that came before. It talked about being sober-minded, self-controlled, and respectable. A drunk is not sober-minded, is he? And he's definitely not self-controlled, and he's certainly not respectable. And just on a practical note, David, a pastor is somebody who is on constant call, even on your day off. Somebody could die on the day off, on your day off. You might get a call at any stage, a crisis call. A crisis has happened in somebody's family. And somebody calls out, wants the pastor, they want spiritual help. And so because you're always on constant call, you must always be sober-minded, ready to go, and ready to help people, even in their most difficult situations. As we work our way through this list, it says, not violent, able to control your temper. What's the scripture say? In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. And so we thought about this morning. We were working in Exodus 2 at Moses. And Moses came out at the age of 40, and he saw his own people, the Hebrews, and somebody was being badly treated by an Egyptian slave master. Cruelty. And something rose up within Moses. He had a sense of injustice. He didn't like the cruelty to his own people. But in your anger, do not sin. What was Moses' problem? He let his anger take control of him. He was violent. He actually killed a man in that situation. We need to be holy and blameless in how we control our emotions. Not quarrelsome. Not somebody who loves a good argument, because arguments just cause division. And if you want a good argument, churches are a brilliant place. Think about all the different theological conversations and viewpoints. If you want to start an argument, churches are a place to do that. What's that going to do? Disunity. It's going to disrupt the body. And so you need to be holy and blameless in the way you interact with people. Yeah, difficult situations. We want to talk this situation through. We want to explain what the Bible says, but don't do it in a quarrelsome way. I'm going to score points. I'm going to win the battle here. I'm going to win the argument. No, don't be a quarrelsome person. What does it say? But be gentle. Gentle, it says in here. Then as we work our way down, not a lover of money. Now, if you're a lover of money, you probably wouldn't have taken a part-time job in Antrim Baptist. I'm sure the salary is not off the scale for a part-time job like that. But even people in ministry can be captivated by the wrong God, become a lover of money. And so as you think about that whole aspect, you must be holy and blameless in how you handle money, how you think about money, and how you deal with money as well. It says you must manage your household well. If you can't look after your own home, how would you be fit or responsible to look after a local church as well? Lots of different things there. We don't have the time to really unpack all those different things this evening. But if you could summarize that list, this list about those going into positions of oversight in a church and ministry, how would you describe it? Do you know what it is? It's a call to be holy and blameless in your character. Call to be holy and blameless. I gave you a book, Davey, earlier by Kent Hughes, the pastor's book. A man with many years of ministry experience, he said these words. Christian ministry is all about character. Lose your character and you lose your ministry. Christian ministry is all about not gifting. You've got to be able to teach, yeah. It's not all about gifting, it's all about character. Lose your character. Start not heeding some of these things here. You lose your ministry. This is a call to take godliness seriously. And you've undertaken training, David, to get you to this point, but the most important training is the one that we read over in the next chapter, 1 Timothy 4 and 7, where it says, train yourself for godliness. That's the most important training. That personal work, working in your spiritual life, loving Christ more, saying no to sin, and growing to be more like Christ every day. Is this just for pastors? Is this just for elders? Well, this passage speaks specifically to that position, and so that's what it's speaking to here. But the principles are relevant for all service. In fact, when you come down to the qualifications for a deacon that are listed on below, it's the same thing. It's all about character. Godly Christian character is the most important thing. It's great to have all these musicians come and play for us each week. Good to see Ian join our musicians. Good to have new people this evening. Why have we chosen you to play each week? Because you've got certain giftings. You've got giftings that I have never had and never will have. I could never even play the recorder in school. When the musical genes were given out in our family, one of my brothers got them and my sister. They can play a number of instruments each. Both of them serve in the church every week playing in the praise group. I have no musical gifts whatsoever. You've been chosen to serve our church because you have musical gifts and you can serve the body and help lead us in praise and in worship. But if you're one of our musicians, remember the importance of being holy and blameless in ministry as well as you serve each week through your musical gifts. Remember, it's about character. That's more important than your ability to play the guitar or play a keyboard or sing at the front. And so as you think about your ministry and service in the church, you also need to be holy and blameless. You need to take it seriously. Train yourself for godliness. If you serve as a deacon in this church, we really appreciate all that you do, opening up, collecting the money, doing all these practical things, chasing people out, wondering when will they ever go home at night so you can lock the door. Maybe somebody is involved in children's ministry, maybe served this morning, CB Kids, so many volunteers. You're going to be here at Monday night with the kids, a lot of the unchurched kids coming in tomorrow night. You're going to be down here early, maybe after coming straight from work to serve. You're involved in our youth fellowship, so tonight at 8:30 you'll be going upstairs instead of going home, when maybe you feel like going home and putting your feet up before a week of work. Maybe you're involved in a practical ministry. You're working my microphone here at the moment, or you're putting the words up on the screen. Or maybe you're doing something outside an organized ministry in this church. You're just serving faithfully in your house. And you're being a godly spouse, or you're being a parent, and you're training your children in godliness. You're just serving God in a very practical, important way in the home. We're glad that we have different gifts. But no matter what way you're serving God, remember your skills and abilities are not the most important thing. Character. And it's godly character is the most important thing. For each of us who's a believer, we need to be holy and blameless. We all need to take personal holiness seriously. About 20 minutes ago, Davy and Tracy stood here at the front. We prayed for them. We prayed for them as we set them aside for ministry. What I want to do now is I want to just pray for Davy and Tracy, the people who are going to be involved in church-based ministry. I want to pray for all of you who are Christians. I want to pray for you and give thanks for your ministry. And I want to pray for you personally in your walk with the Lord, that you be people who are holy and blameless, fit and ready to serve your master. So let's join our hearts now and let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you are a God who saves, a God who transforms. We thank you that our standing is one of being holy and blameless if we are in Christ. We're given a righteousness that we don't deserve. And we pray for each one of us tonight who is a believer, that that would be our desire, to live a life that is holy and blameless, a life that pleases our Master. We know that's difficult, and so we pray you'd fill each one of us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with power, and we pray that our eyes might be fixed not on the world and the temptations and the sin all around us, but on our Savior, Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. We know that each one of us who is a believer, we have been called to serve, whether that's in public ministry in the church, practical ministry, serving in our homes, serving in our communities, wherever you have placed us. We pray, Lord God, that we would work and we would serve you with glad hearts and willing hearts. But we pray that as we serve you, we would have a desire, each one of us, to live lives that are holy and blameless. May we have that desire to be trained in godliness, realizing what we do and the skills we have are not as important as our walk with you. Help us to take holiness seriously, and bless us and equip us for your glory. In Jesus Christ's great name we pray. Amen.